Welcome to the Reader House Author Roundtable, where authors from all walks of life come together to discuss the trials, tribulations, and triumphs of publishing their books. I'm your host, Corey Graham. Join us here every Friday night at 8 p.m. or listen anytime via podcast at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and PodServe, to name just a few. The Author Roundtable is sponsored by Reader House Online Bookstore, where the independent new authors come first. Broken Toys. It's the name of the new book written by Robert Gatz. It's the unbelievable true tale of a young boy, and we're going to talk all about this. Robert, the author, is right here with me. Robert, welcome to the Reader House Author Roundtable. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Robert, can you tell us what readers can expect when they open up Broken Toys?
Well, Broken Toys is the story of my childhood here in Oklahoma. It's about abandonment when I was about two from my mom and ensuing abuse from my stepmother and some other relatives. It's also not just dark, it's also a story of hope and how I was able to finally conquer that into my adulthood and become a proud father of three and just overcame it all.
Robert, who were you writing this book for? Who were your target readers here?
The target readers, I mean, I did write it kind of to leave something to my family, but the target readers are those who either have been through or know somebody that has been through abuse. And, you know, my hope is that they can read it and find hope for themselves, because much of my life I lived without hope. I didn't know that I was ever going to, you know, be able to overcome the obstacles in my life. And I want other people to find hope in that and know that there is a way out and you can survive.
Was there anything in particular that made you decide to write your story, publish it, and put it out there for the world?
I mean, I've always had an idea of writing the book, at least for my own self. But I was in college and I had a teacher, Karen Stroud, and she was very supportive of my writing. And I wrote a kind of an essay basically about child abuse. And it told a little bit about my childhood. And a few years after I got out of college, she asked to publish some essays in a college textbook. And that was one of them. And I guess that gave me the courage to go, okay, I can tell my story and, you know, and it's okay. I never thought it would be published, but I was fortunate enough to have it published and glad to have it out there. But I think she gave me the courage to find the strength to go ahead and tell my story.
So is this your first published one then?
Yes, it is. You know, I've had some poems published and I had those five essays published in a college textbook, but this is my first book.
Was this a long process for you, being your first one and you're writing your story and everything?
Yes, I mean, it was a difficult story to tell, so it took me many years of putting it together and trying to decide what, you know, what to say, what not to say, and getting with my children and my family and making sure they were okay with what was in the book. And it was probably, you know, many, many years of me working on it before I actually, you know, got to the final product.
Yeah, you actually write the book, then you hand it off to the publisher, you start that publishing process. What did you find the most challenging about that publishing end of things for you?
I guess it's kind of letting go. You know, this was my first book published, so I really knew nothing about the process. But the publisher was great to work with, and they didn't recommend a whole lot of changes and things like that. So it was actually a pretty easy process. But I think once the realization of, oh, it's actually going to be out there and people are going to read this, that was a little bit scary, but it's a good scary.
And I can only imagine what was going through your head when that first copy came in, and now it's a real thing. You're holding it in your hands. What was that like for you?
It was unbelievable. I mean, to hold the book and see my word in a book that other people are going to hold and read, it was an incredible feeling. I felt a lot of pride in it. And it's also a scary process because it's very intimate details that I had to share. But it was important to tell the process.
I'm looking at it right now. I love the artwork on the cover. How did that all come together?
Well, I worked with the publisher. I mean, like I said, they were really great to work with. They kind of asked what ideas I had, and I'd always had this idea of a boy and a girl to kind of represent, because abuse happens to boys and girls. So I wanted representation of that, but I always thought them holding a broken toy was kind of representative of what it is for a child to go through abuse. And I thought they did a really great job.
We have a lot of aspiring authors who are listening to us right now, Robert. Do you have anything in the way of advice that you might have to offer them?
Start. The best thing is, if you don't ever get it started, you're never going to get it published. And, you know, if you have a story to tell, go ahead and start putting it down on words and getting it started, because that's the hardest part, is starting the process.
That's good advice. Well, I know there are a lot of people out there that need this book, and I think so many are going to be helped. Again, The title is Broken Toys. It's written by Robert Gatz and published by Newman Springs Publishing. So it's available pretty much everywhere, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble or iTunes, and also traditional brick-and-mortar stores. Robert, thank you so much again for joining me tonight and telling me all about this. I had a nice time chatting.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate you having me.
There's a charming and inspiring story in the new book that's written by Elise Miles. The book is titled Andy the Lion and Friends, Showing the Love of God. And we're going to talk all about this. Elise, the author, is right here with me now. Elise, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Can you tell me what readers are going to find, Elise, whenever they open up Andy the Lion and Friends?
Well, it's going to be, they'll kind of get a little bit of a introduction of all the characters inside of it, but it's also going to have a scripture that is going to actually show examples, too, on how to show the love of God and kind of just give kids a little bit of that, you know, just that a little bit of example of what they can do, even if it's just small little things for people.
Would you say this is for younger children, older children, or maybe across the board?
Maybe across the board. I kind of see more of maybe parents reading it to their young children as like a bedtime story, you know? So it really could be, I would say, 9, 10 years old, something like that, younger.
So how did the idea for this come about, Elise?
Just kind of watching. I've got two small kids myself, 6 and 5 years old. They have a lot of books out there that do show how kids should behave, how to be nice, how to be kind, all those kind of things. But I have personally never seen a book that will take the Word of God and scriptures and show what that actually means, especially to young children.
What does your writing background look like? Have you done this kind of thing before?
No, this is my very first one. So this is all brand new.
Wow, congratulations. How long of a journey was this for you, the writing and publishing and everything?
I think I got a hold of the publishing. I got a hold of them probably back in last year in October, I believe. And so before that, just coming up with the idea, you know, rereading it, going through it, seeing what I wanted to add, what I want to take out. I would say probably before that, maybe about 3 or 4 months.
And something that's super important in books like this is the illustrations. So, Elise, was that a difficult process to get those illustrations just the way you wanted?
No, actually, just letting them know kind of what I was looking for and the examples they had and things like that, they really got it spot on. I mean, I couldn't be happier with it.
Wonderful. And then that day finally came for you, and there that first copy was, and you actually got to hold this in your hands. It's finally a real thing. So, what was that moment like for you, Elise?
It was very exciting. It was a little unreal. It was really exciting because, you know, you going through the whole thing and having to, you know, approve and all this other kind of stuff. But then once you really kind of hold it, you're just like, man, this is it. It's really starting now. And so it's a little bit of a rush.
And now it's official. You're a published author. So when you think about that, Elise, what's the most rewarding part of it for you?
To be honest, I think the most rewarding part of it will be just knowing that, you know, if people do buy it and read it, and I'm really hoping that it does teach children, you know, what, you know, not just stories of the Bible, but what scripture and what God really means when he says, you know, to love or to turn the other cheek and things like that. And so I'm really hoping that this is like a teaching moment for a lot of kids around the world.
What are the chances that we're going to see some more books from you here down the road?
I do have another one saved on my computer. I have not went through the, you know, going over it and rereading and things like that, but I've already got the whole idea set out, saved on there. So hopefully pretty soon. I'm really hoping to kind of have this as a little series of books.
Well, this is a huge project to do. There's a lot involved, and it's tough to do it all by yourself. At least, did you have anybody in your life that knew you were doing this and they could be there to just maybe encourage you and keep you going as you're doing it?
Oh, yes. I had my husband. He was one of my biggest. And then I had my parents, and really just the entire family were extremely supportive and would let me kind of read it to them. And then, you know, I kind of practiced reading it to my kids and see how they liked it and things like that. And so really, I had a huge support group.
Well, it sounds like this is going to inspire so many readers. Again, the title of the book is Andy the Lion and Friends, Showing the Love of God.
It's written by Elise Miles, and this is published by Christian Faith Publishing. So really, you can find it everywhere that you normally would pick up your books, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes, also traditional brick-and-mortar stores. Well, thanks again for joining me, Elise, and telling me all about this. It was so nice talking with you tonight.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
I'm looking at a book right now, and it's a fascinating historical novel of faith and transformation. It's written by Neil D. Gargiulo, and it's titled Listen If You Have Ears. We're going to talk all about this book right now. Neil is right here with me. Neil, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Can you tell me all about what readers are in store for when they open up Listen If You Have Ears?
Well, it's an historical novel of love, forgiveness, redemption, and conversion. It follows Ari, the main character, and how he became a lion for Jesus. It's also a love story between Ari and Monica and a Roman centurion named Thaddeus and his slave girl, Penelope. It follows the second missionary journey of St. Paul and shows how Christianity spread. Many people today have not read the Acts of the Apostles and lost sight of the spread of the gospel of Jesus. And it is a story, a big story of conversion.
Neil, what kinds of readers do you think would really be into Listen If You Have Ears?
Well, I'm quite sure a lot of born-again evangelicals will like this book. But the book is for everyone because it's uplifting. In this time of worry, in this time of fear, I wrote a book that's very uplifting, and it really is for the masses. If a person accidentally picks it up, they could have quite an encounter with God at the end.
So how did the idea for this come about, Neil? What sparked you to write it?
Well, my book is dedicated to my mother, who always supported me, especially in my writing. I always enjoyed writing and evoking strong, heartfelt emotions for the reader. I used to write a Christmas family update story, which I mailed with my Christmas card for over 10 years. And this is when my kids were growing up. I always included a remembrance while growing up in Brooklyn. My friends and family loved it. Then I started to write for the Italian Sons and Daughters of American organization, which involved my Italian-American upbringing. I love to write about how life was being an Italian-American growing up in Brooklyn in the 1960s and 1970s. I always wanted to write a book. I kept thinking and thinking, what can I write? Somehow God touched my heart to help people know about the Acts of the Apostles. This is a very important book and explains what happened after Jesus' resurrection. We didn't get to be a major religion without some effort on the part of its followers. As my book was being developed, God would inspire me periodically and a lot of times while at church service.
When it comes to writing and publishing and all of that, Neil, are you new to this or do you have experience in it?
I'm basically new. I did have a little experience with the Italian Sons of Daughters. You know, I submitted the articles, and they will publish it because they have a monthly newspaper. And I love seeing my name in the publication. It was quite a treat. And I mostly wrote about growing up in Brooklyn, an Italian-American community, and how life was there. It was a very special time during that period. I have friends 60-plus years, and we all say the same thing. We had a great upbringing. It was wonderful.
You just said you love seeing your name in publication, so I could only imagine what you were feeling whenever you got the first copy of this, Listen If You Have Ears, in, and you got to hold that. What was that moment like for you, Neil?
It was wonderful because they did a great job, which I helped them with. They did a great job with the book cover. I really like it. It's a nice, concise book. It's not too long, not too short, and people will find it very comfortable to hold and to read.
Once you started this, how long of a process was it, the editing and everything?
Well, to write the book was around 4 months, maybe five. It wasn't a long, long process because when I get going and I'm inspired, it just flies off my fingers. So the editing process was long, but I learned my first time writing a book. Next time I will be way more careful and more circumvent in writing and submitting it for the editors.
Yeah, that was my next question. Is there a chance we might see another book from you here?
I'm going to do a historical novel on Paul's third missionary journey. Then after that, it's going to be a trilogy. I'm going to go and find the first missionary journey and write about Paul's first missionary journey.
I think readers are really going to love this. Again, the book is titled Listen If You Have Ears. It's written by Neil D. Gargiulo and published by Christian Faith Publishing, so you can get it pretty much anywhere, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble or iTunes, also traditional brick-and-mortar stores. Well, Neil, it's been really great talking with you tonight. Thanks so much again for coming on.
Same here. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Author Carolyn Cannon Smith has written a powerful new memoir. It's just been released through Newman Springs Publishing. It's titled Mike's Journey. And I'm really happy that Carolyn is joining me right now and we get to talk all about this book. Carolyn, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Corey. I appreciate your time, sir.
I appreciate your time, and I'm curious about what readers can find here in Mike's Journey, Carolyn. Can you tell me about it?
Absolutely. Well, Corey, I went through a challenging time with my husband that passed with prostate cancer. This basically is a book that challenges everyone to understand that life is very limited, but love is eternal, which simply means that I started posting a day-to-day journal, let's just say, for friends and family so they could bring them into the fold to know what was going on because family was all over the country. And it turned into this book.
Carolyn, what sorts of readers do you think would be into this the most?
Anybody that's breathing, because it is full of comedy. This is not a sad thing. It is full of comedy, but the day-to-day challenges that a caregiver actually faces, along with all the simple, foolish things that happens with life.
When it comes to writing, publishing, and everything like that, Carolyn, are you experienced in this, or is this your first time at it?
No, this is my very first time, sir, and it was a labor of love.
Wow, congratulations. This is a huge deal. That first one is often the most difficult. How long of a process was this for you, the writing and publishing, the whole thing?
It took just about a year, to be honest with you, from start to finish, because once I realized what I actually had, my friends and family members were really promoting me to go ahead and put some flesh on it. And so it took just about a year, but it has been absolutely a joy.
I could only imagine that moment for you, Carolyn, whenever that first copy came in, you're holding Mike's Journey in your hands. What was that like?
Oh, it was a blessing, because part of the proceeds of this book is going back to our veterans for the American Legion Post 214 that I'm part of here in my area. And the advantages of this, because we all face so many challenges on a day-to-day basis, you don't have to be caught up in the doom and gloom of life. You can actually make it a blessing on a day-to-day basis, regardless of what circumstances you're under. But yes, when I had the first book in my hand, it was like, wow, this is an accomplishment. Now let's get on with the second one.
I love it. So is that in the works then? You plan on writing some more?
It certainly is. Oh, it is. And this new one is going to be titled Hanging from a Shoestring, Hillbilly Style. And it's just comedy in life. I mean, just the silly, silly things that we all face on a day-to-day basis that may challenge some, but just put a little twist of a smile on it.
Wow. You're making me smile right now, Carolyn, just talking about it. It's infectious.
Well, it is, because, you know, they say laughter is the best medicine. I am absolute living, breathing testimony to that one, because it's an ongoing comedy act on heels around me.
So whenever you had your manuscript finished and you handed it off to Newman Springs, you got started with that publishing process. Carolyn, what did you find the most challenging part of that publishing end of things?
I guess it was spell check, because they would send back revisions and little things like wheel. I said will, W-I-L-L, and it would come back to me as W-H-E-E-L. And, you know, this little thing, but those are little tidbits of just staying with your project, because I know that if I got away from it for a while, I literally had to go back and just find where the issues, mistakes, or whatever. That was probably the hardest part, but they made it so easy for me.
That's wonderful. And it's hard to do this kind of thing alone, you know, maybe if you have some people behind you there along the way that can support you and maybe encourage you, keep you going as you're doing this. Carolyn, did you have people like that in your life?
Honey, I have got family members that are rock stars. And to be honest with you, I dedicated this to my sister also along with the vets because she was just like right there. Not so much as an ally, but more as somebody that challenged me to just get up and keep moving, just keep doing what I was doing. I wouldn't have done everything that I had done without her.
Again, it's titled Mike's Journey. It's written by Carolyn Cannon Smith, published by Newman Springs Publishing, so really it's available anywhere, Go on over to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or iTunes, even traditional brick-and-mortar stores, and you'll be able to pick this up. Well, Carolyn, thank you so much for coming on the show, telling me about this book, telling me about Mike. It was really great talking.
Hey, Corey, I'll tell you something. As I said, and I'm constantly saying this, life is very limited. You will only have that certain amount of time, but love is eternal. So make it count.
The new book just released by author Quemelin Bull. It's titled Hope in Times of Horror, Memoirs of the Liberian Uncivil War. It's a gripping and reflective personal journey. And we're going to talk all about it. The author, Quemelin, is right here with me now. Quemelin, welcome to the Reader House Author Roundtable. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Corey. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm curious about Hope in the Times of Horror. Can you tell me all about this?
Well, Hope in Times of Horror is a book that I wrote, my memoir of my experience during the Liberian Civil War that started in 1990. It went through till 2003. By the grace of God, I was able to get out of there by 1997. But this is just my experience during the civil conflict in Liberia.
Quemelin, what sorts of readers were you writing this for? What sort of target audience were you going for?
Well, this book is going to touch a variety of readers. For one, those who are interested in history, especially African-American history, will be interested because the book has a background of American history as well. When the slavery ended in the United States, some Africans were taken back to Africa, some based on their own choices, or some felt that it would be better to move back home. So the nation of Liberia was established with a combination of native Africans in Liberia and those from the United States. So they came together and they lived together, and that's the history of Liberia. So you will have those interested in history that will be interested in the book. Also, from the publisher, you can see that's Christian Book for Publishing. You will see that those of the Christian faith will be interested in this book because the book speaks of my testimony of how God carried my family and I through the Civil War in Liberia and brought us here to the United States. And I will say also for those who are interested in politics as well, politics around the world, how they affect people, especially international policies, will also be interested.
How did the idea for this come about, Quemelin?
Well, I got the idea to write this book from speaking with various individuals, friends of mine. I will always tell them my story. And a lot of times they would end telling me, hey, Quemelin, you need to write a book just detailing your story. We believe that, you know, there's a lot people can learn from your story. And as emotional as it is, there's also a lot of courage in your story. So many of my colleagues, coworkers, families encouraged me to write this book. But most importantly, my mother, who was separated from us, was a great encouragement in writing this book because though she was separated from us and we are no longer in touch with her, her presence is still with us, still with me and my family and so many other families and friends. And because her presence lives with us and in us, we're keeping her presence alive.
So once you had started on this and clear up through the publishing and everything, Quemelin, how long of a process was this for you?
Well, I will say I got the idea to write this book after attending a conference in 2018, but due to work and family, I really did not start to write the book until 2022. So it was during that time that I really put pen to paper and went full throttle, and I will say a little over 2 years.
And when it comes to your writing background, are you experienced in this kind of thing?
Actually, no, this is my first book.
And it must have been a really special moment when that first copy finally came in and now it's a real thing you're holding in your hands. What was that like?
Well, I felt a sign of relief. Personally, I'm a goal-driven person and I like to complete the task.
Mm.
In playing sports, we say a finisher. You know, you finish the task, you got the ball in the hoop, score the goal. That's the kind of person I am. So in writing this book, it took longer than I planned to, but such is life, you know, and by the grace of God, I was able to accomplish that in the time that I did. And when it finally was completed, I was very excited. And again, like I said, I felt a sign of relief that I accomplished a great task.
What do you say the chances are that we'll be seeing more books from you here in the future, do you think?
I will say that's a pretty good chance. I have another thought for a children's book. And I told my children about it. And I do want to make a trip with my children back to Liberia because I want to write a children's book from all the folklores that we were told as children. And they were very, you know, interested. I still I hold those dear to my heart today, and I have told them that I will eventually write a children's book, and hopefully their children can enjoy.
The title of this is Hope in Times of Horror, Memoirs of the Liberian Uncivil War. This is written by Quemelin Bull and published by Christian Faith Publishing, so you can find it everywhere, really, places like Amazon and Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and also traditional brick-and-mortar stores. Well, Quemelin, it's been really nice talking with you tonight. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you, Corey.
Well, I'm very happy to welcome author Danielle S. Glisper to the Reader House Author Roundtable. Danielle, really appreciate you joining me tonight. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Wanted to say congratulations. You have a new book out. It's titled When Papa Forgets His Birthday. Danielle, can you tell me all about this?
So the book is based off of my relationship with my grandfather, who passed in 2021. He had dementia. And so the book is from a granddaughter's point of view and just our relationship and how, you know, from an early age and has our relationship progressed and as we got older and then when his illness kicked in and how we had to just kind of rearrange our lives to make him comfortable, but also we had to adjust to him suffering with his memory loss.
Danielle, what sorts of readers did you have in mind when you were writing this?
It was children. So I was thinking elementary age. I have a niece right now. She's 12, but she also developed a relationship with my grandfather. He's her great-grandfather. And so while the book was very comforting for me to write, I wrote it with her in mind, thinking, you know, as an adult, we kind of experiences the changes that our elderly parents and grandparents go through. And as a child, she also experienced that loss.
So how did the idea for this come about, Danielle? What made you decide to write this?
I've always had a passion for writing. I was actually working on an adult book, and when my grandfather passed, I was in control and order of writing his obituary. And it was a process, but it was writing about him was kind of like a healing process. Just having those memories and remembering a lot of our interactions and just the things we've been through over the years, it was comforting just being able to write it down and think about them.
So have you been published prior to this?
No, I have not. It is my first.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long of a process was this for you, writing it, publishing it, the whole thing?
It was a lot longer than I expected. The initial part of writing it, I've actually wrote three books based off of the relationship with my grandfather. And so we've only published the first one, but writing them was a little quicker, but finding a publisher and then even a process of editing, proofreading, and making the pictures and the illustrations kind of go align with the story and how I wanted to portray it. It was a process. It was. But in the end, it came out really well with the illustrations. I wanted it to be personal. So there are a lot of like realistic hints about my grandfather, his overalls, the ball cap he used to always wear. There were a lot of things, like little things that if you know me, you'll see them in the book. But of course, the book isn't just for people who know me. So it's just kind of sentimental having that displayed.
Like you said, there's a lot involved in that publishing process. Danielle, what did you find the most challenging part of that publishing end of things?
It was the illustrations. It was trying to portray it in a picture because I had a thought. I knew what I wanted it to look like and just kind of putting that in form because I like to write, but I'm not creative when it comes to like the picture and the drawing and just trying to imagine it. But because I had an ideal of what I wanted it to look like, and I wanted it to look like us and our relationship. So a lot of the photos they're very realistic to me. Yeah, even though it's a children's book.
And now that you're officially a published author, Danielle, what's the most rewarding aspect of that for you?
Having other people tell me what they think of it. People who actually read it and those who, well, when there are people who don't know me, that have read it and, you know, give me the actual feedback of my family. You know, they're just everything's great. But having someone who doesn't know me, who just wanted to take a chance and, you know, read the book and give me their actual feedback, it's been really rewarding. And I'm excited to do more. I just haven't.
Well, this is a great book for children and families, and definitely go check it out. Again, the title of it is When Papa Forgets His Birthday. This is written by Danielle S. Glisper and published by Covenant Books, so you can get it everywhere, really, like at Amazon or at Barnes & Noble or at iTunes or also traditional brick-and-mortar stores. Danielle, it's been really nice talking with you tonight. I really appreciate you coming on the show and telling me all about this. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Author Dan R. Walker, Jr. has written a profound tale of courage and resilience. The book's called The Terp, and we're going to talk all about this. Dan is right here with me now. Dan, welcome to the Reader House Author Roundtable. Thank you for joining me.
And thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to be talking with you tonight, Dan, and I'm curious about The Terp. Can you tell me what readers are in store for here?
Well, sure. So The Terp, it's a book that's set in Iraq in 2006. It follows Staff Sergeant Robert Baker, who he's in charge of security for Major Moss, who's head of the civil affairs team. And the civil affairs is basically the sort of the diplomats of the Army is the way I would best probably describe them. Major Moss has a problem. He has lost trust in his male interpreters. So he comes up with a bold plan and introduces female interpreters with hope that they would have more loyalty to the cause. Sergeant Baker is very highly skeptical of this decision, specifically because of the deeply ingrained chauvinism and sexism, specifically in their region. They get introduced to Zina, and Zina is not what you would expect from a typical Muslim woman. She sort of breaks down any kind of cultural barriers of what you think in terms of the way she dresses and in terms of the way she acts, I think even more specifically. As he works with Zina, who is a very independent and strong-willed woman, he also begins to sort of question his views on the Iraqi people, because one of his moral flaws is that, you know, his job is to protect his team, and he has no problem killing Iraqis if they need to be killed, and I think that he sort of sees them as a little bit subhuman. She's going to sort of change his worldview as he gets to know her and eventually begins to develop a relationship with her. And I think the book delves into the human cost of war. It delves into leadership challenges and some of the moral struggles that soldiers face in a conflict zone.
Dan, what sorts of readers do you think would be into this the most?
Well, I guess if I did have any target readers, it would be for people who definitely enjoy any kind of military or historical fiction. But, you know, this is, even though it's set in Iraq in 2006, this is not really a war story. It's more of a romance story. And I think it goes beyond just being a war story. It's for anyone who I think is interested in stories about moral dilemmas, human relationships, and especially in like extreme situations, and about the psychological impact of war. I think that readers with a military background, especially any of those who've served in Iraq and Afghanistan, are going to connect with the authenticity, because I wanted to ensure that the realism of the way that they spoke, the details of everything were extremely correct. And at the same time, I do think that those people who appreciate stories about personal growth, about human connections, are also going to find something meaningful here as well.
So what sparked the idea for this, Dan? I have a feeling a lot of this came from your own experiences.
Well, yes. My personal experiences absolutely were influenced by The Terp. And while the book is technically fiction, Zina is based on a real person that I actually worked with during my deployment in Iraq in 2006. Now, a lot of what happens in the story is drawn from real events, though they're not always directly connected to the different experiences. The protagonist, who is Staff Sergeant Baker, he is actually a combination of several non-commissioned officers that I served with. He's a tough, dedicated soldier who dealt with the complexities of leadership in combat. But, you know, I made the decision to include a romance element there, and that part of it is made up, but much of the rest of the story is really grounded in reality.
Well, this book surely explores some important themes, and if you're listening right now, I'd recommend that you go check it out. The book, again, is titled The Terp. It's written by Dan R. Walker, Jr., and published by Haas & Jenkins Publishing. So you can find it really everywhere, like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and iTunes and also traditional brick-and-mortar stores. Dan, thank you so much again for coming on the show and talking to me all about this book. It was great chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
The new book, written by Sherry Carr, it's titled I'm the Chosen One, and it's a heartfelt memoir. It draws on the author's personal experiences, and I get to find out all about it. The author, Sherry, is here with me now. Sherry, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Sherry. Can you tell me what readers are going to find here in I'm the Chosen One?
They're going to find some hardship. They're going to find some godly, spiritual vindictive. It's more of a heart-to-heart with God when it all boils down to it.
And what kinds of readers were you writing this for?
I was writing it for the elderly, the young, the adult, teens. It's a pickup, a book that you start reading, you will be going to the next chapter and then the next chapter.
So how did this idea come about? Where'd you get the idea to write your story and then have this published?
I got the idea from having journals. I used to journal all the time. I started journaling when my mom died at 14. And I took all my journals and I put it all together. And this year I said, I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to print my book. And I sent my book to Christian Publishing and they called me back and said that they was going to publish my book. I was overjoyed because it was the day before my birthday.
Oh, wow.
That they called me.
I love it. So do you have any experience doing this or is this your first time at this kind of thing?
This is my first time.
Congratulations. Was this a long journey then for you, being your first time at it?
Yes, it was. I thought at one time it wasn't going to never happen. But then, like I said, you step out on faith, you never know what's going to happen.
Then that day came for you and you open up the mailbox and it's finally there, your first copy, and you're holding I'm the Chosen One in your hands. Sherry, what kind of a moment was that like for you?
It was a very intimate moment that it brought me tears. Because I was stopping a generational curse that my mom went through, I went through, and I didn't want my daughters to go through. So once I got that book in my hand, it was like, oh my goodness, this is real. It's really happening.
Then once you handed this book off to Christian Faith and you started that publishing process, there's so much involved in there. Sherry, what did you find the most challenging part of the publishing process for you?
The editing. That was the most hardest part ever. Is editing the pages after page after page. Sometimes it was, get ready to say, I was going to put you to the side. I said, never mind, never mind. But then I said, no, keep fighting, look over it, do it right, and it's going to get published. So I sent it first time. They denied it because they said there was too much editing. But the second time I sent it, they say, way to go, congratulations, we're going to take on the book.
Well, now that you're officially a published author, Sherry, what would you say is the most rewarding aspect of that for you?
Me and people and my family is happy and calling me the little author and being in church and church members got it and it's overwhelming.
What are the chances you would do something like this again, Sherry? Do you think you have more books in you?
Yes, I have, I think, two more in me. Yeah, two more is in me, so I will be starting that over after Christmas, probably January, New Year, start something new and fresh, and never know, it might hit again July the 18th.
Well, I have the book right here, I'm looking at it, and this is a beautiful cover, Sherry. How did that all come together?
I always had a vision of butterflies. I love butterflies, and I said, being the chosen one, that means something had to be left behind or something has to be grasped. So I said, let me design it where there's a butterfly at the bottom and one butterfly is flying out. Because that butterfly that's at the bottom was me. And I got in there and that's where it came from.
Well, I know so many readers need this book. So many people are going to be helped by it. Again, the title is I'm the Chosen One. It's written by Sherry Carr, and this is published by Christian Faith Publishing. So really, it's available everywhere, like Amazon and Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and also traditional brick-and-mortar stores. Sherry, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was so nice talking with you tonight.
It was so nice having me. Thank you so much.
The audiobook we're going to be talking about right now is about forbidden office romance. It's titled Forbidden Bosses of Vegas, When Two Imperfect Men Become the Perfect Man. And this is part of the Bosses of Vegas series written by J.L. Grace. We're going to be talking all about it. The author, Jim, is here with me now at the Reader House Author Roundtable. Jim, welcome. Thanks for being here with me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Can you tell me all about what readers and audiobook listeners are going to find whenever they pick up Forbidden Bosses of Vegas?
Yeah, my goal as the author of this book was to kind of give kind of a steamy office romance, if you will, between a younger, inspiring detective female and some best friends that have owned a private detective agency. They've been best friends forever. And when our aspiring young detective Lisa comes into the mix, there's a little bit of conflict between the two, feelings for her, and there's a little bit of conflict within her because she has feelings for both of them. So there's a murder mystery going on, and at the same time, there's a lot of steamy interactions between each of the main characters, and also, not to spoil too much, but between all three of them.
That sounds to me like mystery romance fans would be most into this.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And there's some steamy parts. So it'll keep the reader intrigued, not only trying to find the murder mystery out, but also if they're into the romance part of it.
How did the idea for this come about, Jim?
Well, it's always been something I've always wanted to write, this type of story. And honestly, it's just kind of been thoughts in my head, not only from my own personal dealings and within romance and stuff, but also I've always wanted to write kind of murder mysteries. So I decided to take the leap and write a combination of the two and make it as intriguing as possible.
Oh, is this your first time being published?
Yeah, this actually was my first published book. I've had some published papers in the past, but this is my first full published book, and it is actually a three-part series, so this would be part one of the three-part series.
Now, of course, this is the audio book, and while you're writing this, you're seeing all your words there on the computer screen, and now with the audio book, you're hearing your own words being read back to you. Jim, what kind of an experience is that like?
It's actually a really surreal experience. You know what's coming, you know what it is, but it's actually nice to kind of hear the story unfold through someone else's words. Even though you know what's coming, it's almost just listening to someone else read it back to you. It was quite an amazing experience, actually. So I thought it was actually pretty fun, because when I write the book, obviously you hear it through a male's voice, and I'm kind of reading it to myself in my head. And then when you're writing it, you're actually listening to the characters talk to you as well. So, you know, both of the male characters had their own different voice, and then the female character had her own different voice. And then when you get someone who's a professional at making audiobooks read it to you, it just amplifies that to a whole new level.
And now that you're officially a published author, Jim, when you think about that, what's the most rewarding aspect of that for you?
Just people get to experience my imagination. It's really what it is, you know, there's a lot of professional writing into it, but I didn't write it for the money or anything like that. I wrote it because I wanted to get my ideas on paper, and just for other people to read my ideas and read my story and provide feedback so I can further continue my career and being an author is just, that's probably the most rewarding, is someone having read your work and giving you feedback on it, what they liked and what they didn't like, so you can get yourself better with it, and just having people enjoy what has taken me the time to write.
When you started off on this, Jim, did you have sort of an outline that you were going by, sort of you knew how everything was going to pan out, or did you start with maybe an idea and start writing and kind of see how things went from there?
Well, I had an idea, and I did take a few classes on being an author and how to put ideas to paper. So there was a lot that I had in my head of writing this story, but there was also being technical at it and being good at being an author and how to organize your ideas and then put them on paper so it flows as it should be to a reader.
Again, the name of this book is Forbidden Bosses of Vegas, When Two Imperfect Men Become the Perfect Man. It's part of the Bosses of Vegas series, and this is written by J.L. Grace. So you can find it everywhere, like Amazon, iTunes, Audible, anywhere really that you go to pick up your audiobooks. Of course, it's published by the Audiobook Network. Jim, thank you again for being here on the show. I had a great time talking with you.
It was really nice talking with you, and thank you for the invite, and I appreciate it.
Author Buford J. Hall is sitting here with me now at the Reader House Author Roundtable. Buford, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. I'm really happy to be talking with you, and I just wanted to say congratulations. You have a book out titled Alpenglow. Buford, can you tell me about this book? What are readers going to find here?
The book is a poetry compilation of just different types of variety of poems, of haikus and sonnets and free verse poetry about nature and family and outdoor adventures and about Appalachian culture, and also some poems are about my upbringing here in Kentucky and the Appalachian Mountains. Just a combination of different type of poetry.
Did you have a group of target readers in mind for this?
Readers I would hope to reach are people that just appreciate nature and are going through the journey of life. Several of the poems are also about life and death and celebration and just a lot of different perspectives that we all go through in life. Try to reach a lot of Appalachian people. The book's already reached several people, and just let people have a taste of what our culture is like here also.
Buford, can you tell me the story behind this book? How did this come about?
I've been writing poetry probably since I was in college, and probably several years ago, my dad had wrote poetry also just as a hobby, but he passed, and I started getting my compilation of poems together and collecting them, and I've probably been writing probably, I would say, over 20 to 30 years, but I just decided to finally reach that point in my life. I wanted to try to get this published if I could, and thankfully I did, so it's been a great, great journey.
How long of a process was this once you started collecting everything, putting it together, and then you handed it off to Newman Springs and started that publishing thing? Was this a long time for you?
Probably took me a little bit to get all my poetry together and gather that all together, but the publishing process was, Newman Springs was awesome, and they helped guide me through everything and put the manuscript together and tried to organize everything. I think that was the most hardest thing, was just trying to get how I wanted the book to be organized into five different sections. So very happy with it.
And then Buford, that day finally came and you open up your mailbox and there it finally was, your first copy of Alpenglow. You got to actually hold your finished product. What was that like?
Probably the most exhilarating experience I've had. It was just a dream come true to see all the work that I put into the book and to actually hold the book in my hand. It was overwhelming, to say the least. It's probably one of the biggest highlights of my life.
And you're officially a published author. So when you think about that, what's the most rewarding part of it for you?
The readers and people that respond back with maybe a certain poem and brought back memories in their childhood, or maybe reminded them of being by the lake or by a river. And it's just the feedback and how it's touched a lot of lives and influenced a lot of people. I think that's the most rewarding thing, is to get to hear feedback from all the readers.
And this is a gorgeous cover. I love this photo on here, Buford. How did that all come about?
Alpenglow, that's, I guess as the illustration shows, that is something that's special to me, because I love catching different types of moments in life, whether it be the blue hour or what they call the magic hour, the golden hour, but the Alpenglow. And I love nature and outdoors, so it all just came together, and that's how the term came to me, and I just love the cover. It's awesome.
So have you thought about it, maybe writing more, publishing more down the road?
Yes, I have several more poetry writings I need to try to get published. I'm hoping to do that. I'm also hoping to write a book in the future, but hopefully next book will be another poetry collection, and I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, it's been a great, great journey.
When you sit down and write your poetry, Buford, is it usually a pretty easy thing for you, the words just flowing out, or do you get something like writer's block, maybe, where it just gets really tough, you don't know what to write?
A lot of the poetry comes, I'm in nature quite a bit, in solitary places, and I just see things or experience things, the words come to me. Occasionally, I've had a few poems I've had to stop, and I guess you would call it writer's block, but for the most part, the poems just, if I see something out in nature, or if I'm out on an adventure or hiking, it just seems to come to me, and I just begin to write it as soon as I can. I don't wait till I get home. I try to start writing it just as quick as I can.
Well, I think readers are really going to love this. Again, the title of this book is Alpenglow. It's written by Buford J. Hall, and it's published by Newman Springs Publishing. So find it at places like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and iTunes and traditional brick-and-mortar stores and really wherever you usually go to pick up your books. Buford, it's been great talking tonight and learning all about Alpenglow. Thanks again for talking with me.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been an honor and a pleasure, and I hope everyone enjoys the book.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the Reader House Author Roundtable, where authors from all walks of life come together to discuss the trials, tribulations, and triumphs of publishing their books. We hope to see you back here every Friday night at 8 p.m. or listen anytime via podcast at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and PodServe, to name just a few. The Author Roundtable is sponsored by Reader House Online Bookstore, where independent new authors come first.